Welcome to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. By now, we're all familiar with police body cam images capturing situations that can quickly spiral out of control. Some unfortunately turn deadly and become viral touch points in the national conversation. Governor DeWine last week signed into law a measure giving police departments the ability to charge the public up to $750 to release video footage. Joining us now is Mark Ferencik, news director here at WOSU. Welcome, Mark.
Hello.
And also WOSU news reporter George Shilcock. Welcome, George.
Hi, Amy.
So, Mark, this measure was tucked into a wide-ranging bill. It's called House Bill 315. It was passed during the lame duck session. It covered a whole host of issues. And this was one line item about the ability to charge for videos. And it came with no public hearing. There was no public input. What were your thoughts when you heard about it?
Well, that's a big concern, obviously. This was a bill of more than 300 pages, and there was one paragraph, a long paragraph, but it was just tucked in here. No public hearings, no discussion beforehand. Afterwards, there was some, obviously, pushback from media organizations and others, the ACLU, asking Governor DeWine to veto this portion of the bill because of, obviously, concerns about, no discussions, potential costs to media organizations, other things like that. But it certainly was clear that nobody wanted to discuss this before the governor signed it.
Now, George, you make public records requests. It's a part of your job. What did you think when you heard about this new law with the charges?
I thought, we could be getting charged a lot more money in the future if he signs this, and the governor did choose to sign it. So That's something we're going to be keeping a very close eye on in the future.
Agencies can charge up to $75 an hour, and it's capped at $750 per request. But they have the option in that paragraph. It says they have the option of charging nothing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So, George, many don't charge right now. You know, under what circumstances have you run into that they might charge?
So, example of like a police department not charging is the Columbus Police Department. Typically, when I get body cam footage from them or other surveillance footage, it's sent to me digitally and I get it free of charge. A lot of times when a lot of media organizations are requesting one video of a incident that we want video of, they even bring us all into one room and show it to all of us and allow us to ask questions. Again, no charge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they do give us it on a, I don't know what determines this, but sometimes they give it to us on like a CD or even a flash drive. And sometimes they'll charge the cost of that physical media device. But
so however much a flash drive costs.
Yeah, which isn't that much. Mm-hmm. I will say, I've never been charged $750 or even $75 for something like that. Maybe one time when I was back in Iowa, but that's a different state, different rules. But it's been rare that I've gotten charged a lot of money, if any at all.
The cost of a CD from the Columbus Police Department now is a buck.
A buck. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which, I mean, and a CD is an old way to give it. So like giving it digitally, essentially, is free. I mean, so what they're saying is it's the officer's time. So the officers are putting time into editing the video. There's certain faces they have to black out. They have to, if there's bystanders around, right? Do they black out that, George?
Yeah, bystanders sometimes. Sometimes they'll blur out license plates, nameplates on officers. Mm-hmm. If they're looking at an ID once in a while, they'll blur out some of the information on that. It really just depends whether they're trying to protect privacy, Marcy's Law, and how they deal with that, and hiding officers' faces comes into play sometimes too. But yeah, they're blurring out a lot of different things.
Now, the city of Cleveland announced through a spokesperson that it at this time has no plans to charge, but they're still reviewing it. So do you think do you think the city came too quickly? They're like, oh, we won't do that. Or do you think that'll stick?
Well, again, I don't know the city of Cleveland, but that's what they say, that they're not going to charge or they don't plan to charge traditional media outlets, which would be newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, even digital media. But they said that they're still evaluating whether to charge the public. And I think they're going to run into a lot of problems there if they decide we're going to charge you, somebody who lives on the east side of the city of Cleveland, to review this video evidence, this dash cam video, this body cam video. Mm-hmm. But media organizations, we're not going to charge you. Again, public records are for everybody. They're not just for the media. Anybody can request public records. And to have, in some ways, a double standard, if that's what they're considering, I think it's going to buy them a lot of problems.
Now, and yeah, before we went on the air, we were discussing the definition of what is traditional media.
Right.
Right? Because in this day and age, there are social media influencers who consider themselves media. You know, who gets to define what that means of who is media? And they are requesting the video, right, George?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. As far as I understand, a lot of concerns from police departments. I got to speak with Brian Steele, the local Fraternal Order police president, and he said a lot of concerns come down to whether or not, like, there are these social media influencers that are, like, requesting just batches of a ton of these body cam footage, like, say, you gave an example before about drunk
driving.
Yeah, I can
give. Okay, go ahead.
Drunk driving is an example. They'll just request a bunch of body cam footage of police responding to drunk driving and just trying to catch something and, use, as you put it earlier, go viral.
Yeah.
That's a concern that a lot of police departments are having over this versus traditional media outlets like us. We're requesting for police shootings. We're requesting for if there is a particularly bad, like, car crash or something like that, or some really newsworthy thing where a lot of these social media influencers are just requesting just blanket body cam footage from a lot of things.
All Sides producer Aaron Rabinowitz talked to the Vandalia police chief. His name is Kurt Althaus, and he serves as the president of the Ohio Association of Chiefs of Police. And he said that in his department, they're looking for... let me see. Okay. He said that there's one person who, in particular, he was just using this as an example, one person who is a social media influencer who makes a monthly public records request for footage showing a range of actions. For example, a suspect resisting arrest or a police pursuit or use of force. And it's just a general request and wants all angles, all cameras on scene. I could see how doing that every month would be very time consuming.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that too. Yeah, when it comes to these public records, though, like it all comes down to like what narrative these are showing. There was a push for police to have body cam footage, have dash cams, to be able to show people what they were experiencing, rather than media just getting the police narrative from these. Like when the car crash in Licking County happened last year, we got a lot more insight into how that crash went down and how the police responded to that. We got to see the heroic actions of one police officer going into that bus and trying to rescue students, the Takiya Young shooting in Blunden Township last year. We learned a lot from the video that the police didn't tell us in their initial narrative. So there's...
Right, that was the pregnant woman who was shot in the Kroger parking
yes.
lot. And seeing the video is different than hearing someone say, well, she drove her car toward me, right? But
exactly.
Yes. Before coming to WOSU, you spent 25 years as a reporter for the Dispatch. Explain how public records and videos and like asking for this has changed over time. Because I can imagine that you remember a time when there were no videos to ask for.
Right. So, we would ask for paper records or, again, records on CD or on flash drives or things like that. But you'd file a public record request, and if you had to pay something, some amount, again, like a dollar for a CD or 5 cents a page for paper records, again, you a lot of times would pay for it out of your pocket and then get reimbursed by your employer. $75 an hour or up to $750 an hour, you know, media organizations may certainly struggle with that, but also, again, this is going to dissuade the public, I think, from asking for these types of records. And because people see videos like this, whether it's on the internet, whether WSU puts them on our site, other media outlets, this shows people that these records are accessible. But if you have a financial barrier, a lot of people may not be willing, or it's going to be much more difficult for people to get records because they don't have the financial ability to pay for this, especially if you go and you're told, we think this is going to cost $150. And is somebody going to have that kind of money to pay for a record if a department decides to charge for these types of records? It affects the public, not just us.
Now, the police chief I mentioned earlier from Vandalia, he said that he would not charge if it was an active court case and they needed the video for that. So that's one, you know, but if he mentioned.
Yeah. And that's just it. The way this is going to give departments a lot of different leeway in terms of who's going to do what. And it's one thing in Columbus or in Cleveland or Cincinnati or in Dayton and bigger cities where there is media to keep an eye on things. Well, what about a small town in eastern Ohio or northwest Ohio where they're not covered frequently, and people want to get a dash cam video or body cam video of something that happened in a small town. We're not covering it, but people there want to see what happened because people are talking about it. Depending on what that department does, it may make it very difficult for people to see these types of records.
And, you know, Mark, you're the boss of the WOSU News Department. Just a logistical question. I mean, the bill says that you have to get the payment in advance.
It gives you the opportunity to do that in advance, yeah.
And I mean, I've worked for the Ohio State University for a long time. I've never seen them pay a bill very quickly.
Right.
So what would have to happen there? You'd have to have your reporter pay out of pocket?
It would be that, or we would have to set up some sort of account to say, okay, we have this amount of money to spend on for these types of records if we need access to them quickly. Yeah, because in terms of reimbursement, it's not, you know, just Ohio State. It's a lot of other places, too, depending on how long that reimbursement might be. That can be challenging, certainly.
And in the next segment, we're talking with Columbus Division of Police Lieutenant Brian Steele. And, George, you've covered a lot of stories that involve body cam video. You mentioned a few of them earlier. I mean, how essential is this access to reporting?
It's absolutely essential. I know Mark was saying earlier that like there was a time when these videos didn't exist. I've been spoiled as a journalist getting to grow up in a time where they do exist, where we get this evidence and it is public record and freely accessible to the public. These, in the job that I do and the job that Mark does and the job that you do, Amy, these are really essential pieces of our story, and they're able to help give us unless they're turned off at certain times, a very clear insight into what happened at a scene of a crime, at the scene of an accident. And they're very vital to help us do our job, helping the public and our readers and our listeners understand what happened and how.
Can you see how editing a video, blurring out everyone in the background can take longer than redacting on a piece of paper?
I've edited videos before. I know how to use Adobe Premiere somewhat. Less than some in the newsroom, but more than others. But I can absolutely see how that's difficult.
Yeah, but that's a question too, is that when police, public safety departments are editing videos, how can you tell how long it took them to do that? Is the work going to take an hour and maybe they will charge
you more?
Well,
it might take one person an hour, and it might take one person 2 hours. You know,
correct.
I bet you could
depends
edit a video.
Skills.
You could edit a video faster than me, George.
Yeah, and Allie could do it at five times the speed I can. Allie Vigrinzik.
Yeah,
but also just that if 10 media outlets, let's say, ask for a body cam video that lasts an hour, so it's $75. It's digital. Do we all pay $75? Do we share in the cost? I mean, that's just it. You know,
yeah, if every media outlet's asking for the same thing, they can't possibly charge everyone.
Right, because you're not editing that video 10 times. You're editing it one time for 10 outlets.
Right. That remains to be seen. Yeah. I think that a lot of police departments are still working through what to do with this. George, you called some?
Yeah, I know we mentioned Cleveland earlier. The day this happened, I called up some local police departments, and any from the lowest level at the township level to the State Highway Patrol to ask them, hey, this just got signed last night. What are you expecting from this? And they all gave the same answer. We don't know yet. Mm. We're figuring that out. We're talking with our city attorney. I checked with Blendon Township, Columbus, Whitehall, and the Ohio State Highway Patrol in Franklin County, and literally all the same answer. We don't know yet.
You can think that, so they're probably exploring it. They're saying, we want to, but maybe not $75 an hour, that kind of thing.
Maybe they're waiting to see how the public responds. I know the governor mentioned in comments to one of the media outlets that like he will also be watching the consequences of this to see if any changes need to be made. So it's an open question how this law is going to play out.
Do you feel like, oh, go ahead,
I was going to say they're probably certainly talking to all the city, their city attorney's offices or legal folks to see how this should be handled as well.
Do you feel like every police department, even small ones or big ones, need to hire a video editing department so that, because what they're saying is it's taking officers off the street to take the time to edit this. Do you think that they all need to explore a different way of doing business?
I know. I bet some of them already do have at least some officers, if not administrative staff, trained in this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it even falls to the city clerks. Sometimes they hire outside PR firms to do this. I know that's happened in the past. but that may be something to consider. Who am I to say what they should do? But
yeah.
if they don't have proper training within the department, that may be something they consider in the future. I'm not sure.
And a lot of people who have spoken out about this have said that it's, you know, our tax dollars pay for policing. This is a new part of policing. Like our tax dollars pay for the body cams. They pay for the cameras and the cars. So they should pay for the editing. Our tax dollars should already cover it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, they are arguing the police departments or various cities. I think the Ohio Municipal League backed this too. You know, this is an additional cost. This is additional work we have to do. So we should be compensated for that. But again, it could also dissuade people from requesting these types of records, though.
Yeah, if a regular old, you know, Joe just has a questionable interaction with the police and wonders what went wrong there and just wants to see it, it's not like this big high profile media case, but you can you can ask for it, right?
Sure.
If you can afford it.
Yeah, if you can afford it, and that's a big part of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can also, I mean, I'm sure they're needed for a lot of court cases, but do you think you have to ask for them sometimes for insurance purposes too?
I would
think so.
Yeah. If maybe your insurance company won't pay for something, but you know there was a police officer there who has the video you need. Yeah. There's a lot of different instances, so we're gonna have to keep an eye on this.
Oh, we will.
I guess the next time you make a public records request, I bet it'll still be free, but maybe in a few months might not be.
I kind of want to test this policy out once it goes into effect. I think it's 90 days after the bill signing, so we have a few months. There was an emergency clause on it to put in effect immediately. So
that the 90 days gives all the departments time to figure out what they want to do. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right. And yes, our producer says that the law goes into effect in April. So maybe we'll check back in. And I do want to add, we did reach out to Representative Thomas Hall, one of the sponsors of House Bill 315, which included this change to the open records law, and we did not hear back. Thank you to Mark Farinchek, WOC News Director. Thank you.
Sure.
And thank you, George Shilcock, reporter. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Amy.
And coming up, we're going to talk to the president of the Fraternal Order of Police for here in Columbus. That is When All Sides Continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. And by now, we're all familiar with body cam images capturing situations that can spiral quickly out of control. Some unfortunately turn deadly and become viral touch points in a national conversation. Governor DeWine last week signed into law a measure giving police departments the option to charge the public up to $750 for video footage. Joining us now is Columbus Division of Police Lieutenant Brian Steele. He serves as the president of the Fraternal Order of Police. Welcome back to All Sides.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, the police union took no official position on this bill, remained neutral. What's the reason for that right now?
So, number one, the FOP, specifically FOP Lodge 9, we 100% support body cameras. They're great for transparency. They're great for accountability. We saw post-2020 there was reform measures. The FOP heard those reform measures. We negotiated body cameras. As the president of the FOP, I support those reform measures. Just giving you a little historical. And reform doesn't mean that we were doing things wrong. It's like any organization. We're not just going to try to survive. We're going to try to strive. And one of those ways is to hear the public calling and to be more accountable. We have some concerns, I do, about the body-worn cameras, the transparency aspect. Mm-hmm. I understand the burden it is putting on some departments, some small departments. I think Columbus might have over 4,000 transcripts a year or videos they're releasing. Mm-hmm. Somebody like Perry might have 50. Perry has one individual doing those. I get the burden and the man hours. I don't want to see any local governments, any local police departments taking advantage of this and trying to price gouge people.
Mm, yeah. This law was added to a much larger bill. It was a big package and it had no public hearing. So did you know it was coming? Did you find out whenever the media said?
I found out when the media called and I follow this pretty regularly. I'm on the state legislative committee. I did not see anything. I completely missed this.
Okay, so it's not you. So to your knowledge, it's not that they. I mean, maybe someone somewhere asked for it to be added, but it wasn't.
I could tell you, as a Lodge 9 president, I was not aware. I generally follow these. I'm generally aware of these. I'm generally aware of the committee hearings. I'm part of a team. I'm not aware of anybody on my local team that was aware.
Can you walk us through the process? If someone requests a public record, does Columbus have a department? Like, is there a certain person who does that, or does it move around?
Depends on the size. Obviously, Columbus, Frank County Sheriff, very large, massive organizations. They will have a team of civilian staff, and that's all they do is process public records. Not just body cameras. There might be a victim of a domestic violence assault that's looking for a report. There might be somebody that got in a car accident looking for a report. Some of these BWCs, my understanding is one request in a city of Columbus might be 200 videos. Mm. And I understand the need. You have to sit there by ORC, by state law. You have to redact certain things. They take time. I think the majority of our police departments are not going to price gouge. I worry about, and I'm open about, some police departments that I think have corruption at the top levels. I will use Whitehall as an example. The Whitehall Division of Police already has a ticket arrest quota scheme, taxes the poor, as I say. I'm worried about governments like that now charging a ridiculous amount of money just to try to get their coffers up.
Mm. Well, Whitehall would probably say that they... You know, the time that it takes to edit the videos, they're not nearly as big as you. They can't hire maybe a handful of civilians to do it. So they can't afford it. They need to be able to charge.
Yeah, and that might be the case. And again, as George said, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Some of these departments might say, we're not going to charge anything. We'll mm-hmm. just see. I understand that it's a government document. It's government funds. But you have to remember, it is also a government employee with taxpayer funds spending their time doing this. So I get the concept, and I'm not against it conceptually. I just don't know if this charge, $75 up to $750, was the answer. Again, lame duck is a weird time, as you know. Things get thrown in bills. I guess we'll just have to see.
Do you know where the number came from, $75 an hour?
I do not.
Okay. Yeah, just picked out of the sky.
Yeah, I don't even know where the numbers came from. I don't know where the max came from.
Right. Okay. So... the Marion Police Chief, Jay McDonald, who's also the president of the Ohio FOP, told a newspaper that if someone comes in and requests 75 copies at once, and then another person comes in and requests one copy, that person becomes number 76 in line. But do all 76 get charged the same amount, right? Like, how does that work?
And I talked to George about that a couple of days ago in an interview. The FOP, we're not the government. We are a private organization. We also make public records requests. Mm. So when I talked to George, I was concerned, is a town that maybe has a strained relationship with the FOP, such as Whitehall, going to charge $750? But then a town that we have great relationships with, such as Worthington, is going to charge nothing. Is a town going to charge WOSU $5, but the FOP $750? That's just some things we'll have to see. I would hope it would be equal across the board.
A constitutional law professor said that something like this is kind of a universal punishment due to the behavior of bloggers and social media influencers, because they're the ones making the big requests. Do you find that? Do you have influencers or trying to make requests looking for something?
So we see that. So as I said the other day in an interview, I'm never here to get in front of or try to stop anybody's side hustle or their business. I understand the YouTubers, or I'll call them the bloggers. They make blanket requests for videos, and they're making money off these videos. So they're kind of getting the bad blame. Media does this all the time. News media does this all the time. They make blanket requests of videos, and mm-hmm. it's also based on ratings, and they're making money off of news stories with these videos. So I don't want to say just because one's mainstream medium and one's a local blogger mm-hmm. that there's really any difference, but certainly these videos are they pull on your heartstrings. They're exciting. They get clicks. Anytime an officer involved shooting, it's a terrible incident, but people love these videos. They want to see car chases, and people make a lot of money off of showing these videos.
Our producer, Aaron Rabinowitz, talked with the Vandalia police chief, Kurt Althaus. He also serves as the president of the Ohio Association of Chiefs of Police.
Great man.
And he cited one example where he has one user in his area who makes a monthly public records request for footage of a suspect resisting arrest, a police pursuit, or use of force. That's a very open-ended request, and this person does it once a month. So basically, it sounds to me like they're fishing to go viral.
Sure. And you really, they can't be broad requests. So you would hope, and I would hope the chief, and it's outstanding leader, outstanding police chief, I would hope they would say, hey, deny that request and have something a little
more specific.
You're
allowed to ask for it to be
yes,
more specific.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's right. That's what's being done.
He also said that it can take 2 hours to edit 1 hour of video. You have to blur out faces. You have to edit out identifying information. How do you assess how long it takes, and how would the public know truly how long it takes?
Again, it just depends on how many videos, how many incidents. The way, say, Columbus Police works is if my body camera turns on, anybody in a certain radius of me, body camera is going to turn on. So you might have, in a large division like Columbus, there might be a car chase where 50 body cameras turned on, 50 cruisers turned on. Now someone has to watch each one of those videos because they're tied to one incident. That could take days. That could take weeks to watch.
And if and so taxpayer dollars are
sure.
paying for the people who do this, they could be doing other things, right? So how do you decide, like, what's the efficient use of time?
So Jay McDonald, also another outstanding police chief and FOP leader, I know how he said he was either 1 to 76. Columbus Division of Police, it's my understanding that they'll kind of prioritize those a little bit different. I would hope a victim of domestic violence going to court is going to get their report first. I would hope somebody getting an injury accident that needs that for insurance would get it first. I would hope that the somebody using it for the media or somebody using it for a YouTuber would be a little bit lower on that list.
But are you allowed to rank them?
It depends. I don't know. Each department could probably make any policy they want. There's no blanket policy, no blanket law when you could send them. But I know in Columbus, it takes months to get reports.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if there's like a deadline, like if you get a public records request, you have to respond within X number of days.
I think you have to do it. You at least try to respond. What if you can? Mm-hmm. What if there's a 10-day and you have 4,000 requests? Mm-hmm. I mean, there must be a way that you're at least trying the best you can.
What is your opinion? Because there's a lot of talk about police community relations, especially when it comes from lower income residents. You know, lower income residents might want to see a video of an interaction they had, but they don't have the means. If they request it and they get charged, they're not going to have the means to pay for it.
Sure. So I could tell you there has been great, great efforts by the Fraternal Order of Police and police departments to rebuild any strained relationships between the lower income minority communities and the police departments. There's also great efforts between the local governments who make the laws that officers enforce and the strain there to improve. I've worked the inner city almost my entire career. I've always felt I had a great relationship with the people I serve, and that's one of the reasons, as an FOP president, I continue to push that. I continue to make sure our officers get out there, show them what you do. You serve the public. I serve FOP officers. FOP officers serve the public. Therefore, I support the public. If that is a concern that they have, that we can't afford this, we will absolutely advocate for those individuals as well.
The city of Cleveland announced through a spokesperson that they have no plans to charge at this time, but they're still reviewing it. Do you think that that's going to be the statement that other cities are going to follow suit?
Again, as any good attorney says, it depends. We're not sure. I represent 29 different agencies. I said some are very, very greatly run, very managed, very professional. Some departments aren't as well. So it just depends in our lodge, at least, the 29. We have to wait and see what they're going to do. I'm asking them. We have a legal staff. We're asking them because, again, the FOP makes public records requests all the time to our 29 agencies, and we want to know where we land. We certainly can't afford $750 every time we make a request.
Yeah. What do you think about if a video is requested by multiple media outlets? Does the first one who asked get charged? Do they all get charged? Does no one get charged because you're already doing it for everyone?
Yeah. And again, I think each agency will come up with a policy. A lot of these agencies I've called, and I think as your reporters have said, they were just aware of this when we were.
Mm, yeah. So there's a lot to work out there. Have you talked with your counterparts outside of Ohio? Do you know if other states have done this? Ohio is rarely a leader in creating new laws. So
I've spoke to my colleagues that are big city presidents in different lodges in Ohio, and they were in the same boat as I, that, hey, we're just going to kind of figure this out as we go. What's the impact's going to be? But not out of state yet.
And is there anything else about, like, You mentioned this, but you are a proponent. You agree that having these cameras has helped, right? So you want these videos to be seen when they need to be, want to be?
Right.
Yeah, the video not only protects the public, it protects the officer. It protects us from frivolous complaints. Because of this video, roughly in the city of Columbus, 80%, almost 80% of our complaints are exonerated based off the video. That means 8 out of 10 people made a complaint of the officer's action. Internal Affairs, DIG, watched the video, and they said that absolutely did not happen. Mm. So these things have been absolutely great. When we first came to body cameras as an old school officer, I was just as worried as the other officer. Mm-hmm. If they told you or anybody that worked in a cashier in a doctor's office that we're going to put a video on your chest, human nature, you're going to think, this is odd. I could tell you, I will not police without it. Mm-hmm. If for some reason my camera didn't work that day, I'm not going in a car. These things were one of the best things that happened to law enforcement for accountability and transparency. Not only accountability for the officer, accountability for the public, the individual the officer is dealing with. They've been a game changer.
I don't know how long you've been around, but Mark Faranchek was here before, and we were talking about how technology has changed, where he can remember a time when he was asking for paper, and then maybe, you know, that paper could be burned onto a CD and we'd have PDFs. Yep. It's changing so rapidly. How do you keep up?
It's going to continue to change. I remember when you were trying to, I was talking to a friend the other day about getting online with the buffering. You waited 5 minutes to get on the internet. Give it some time. These videos will be almost instantly. There'll be some program where they're automatically redacted. I mean, this will work itself out. When we talk about reform, I always say the same thing. I talk about an iPhone. You take an iPhone, was the best invention probably ever in our time by Steve Jobs. He didn't stop the iPhone 1. I think there's a 15 now. I'm a little frugal, so I think I have a 12 or 13.
Yeah,
but,
same.
And I use that analogy, same with the FOP. When I say we're reforming, it doesn't mean we're doing things wrong. We're just continue to build and improve on things. Technology will be absolutely same when it comes to these body cameras.
Yeah, I guess so. We could be charging for the editing for the next few years, but then the editing could get faster. Or there could be an AI program out there that can help that department you have of civilians who edit the videos. You could just put in and say, black out these faces, and it'll do it for them, right?
There's a genius right now at Ohio State, a student that's working on this. I guarantee, as we're talking, some kind of app to do this.
Yeah, so you're just asking them maybe do it a little faster.
Yeah, do it a little quicker. Yeah,
because this bill goes into law in April, so you were like, could you get it done right now?
That's right. Yeah. And if there's a way we can get the FOP request first, that would really help us.
All right. Well, I guess you're going to keep an eye on this. Do you have any idea of when you're going to decide? You have to talk. I mean, a lot of lawyers are probably involved. When are you going to decide if you're going to charge?
Well, again, I represent the Fraternal Order of Police, not the Division of Police. Mm-hmm. So I can't make any policy for them. There's just questions I'm going to be asking. And some of my 29 agencies that we represent, we've already started that process. I directed our legal counsel to, hey, reach out to the city attorneys and just kind of ask them, what could we expect? Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for joining us today. That's Columbus Division of Police Lieutenant Brian Steele. He serves as the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Capital City, Lodge 9. Coming up, we're going to talk with an attorney whose clients include families who have been involved in deadly encounters with the police. And thank you so much for joining us today, Brian Steele.
Thank you so much.
And that's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. By now, we're all familiar with body cam images capturing situations that can spiral quickly out of control. Some unfortunately turn deadly, like George Floyd's final moments, and become viral touch points in the national conversation. Governor Mike DeWine last week signed into law a measure giving police departments the option to charge the public up to $750 for video footage. News organizations, the NAACP, and the ACLU lobbied DeWine without success to veto that line item. Joining us now is attorney Sean Walton of Walton and Brown Law. His firm represented several Central Ohio families who have sued law enforcement over deadly force and where body cam footage has played a role in the investigation. He also serves on Axon Ethics and Equity Advisory Council that works to help technology transform modern policing. Welcome to All Sides, Sean.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. First, I'd like your reaction to this change in Ohio public records law. This was a law that was buried in a bigger bill with a lot more into it, and it happened without a public hearing. What was your reaction when you heard?
Shock. You know, this started to circulate right before the actual signing of the bill amongst civil rights attorneys, especially because we deal so much with body camera footage. And, you know, the state of Ohio should be working to make body camera footage more accessible and less costly for the public, as opposed to going in the opposite direction. So it's shocking. You know, it seems like it is the wrong fix for an imperfect system that we're still figuring out, but it's certainly going in the wrong direction.
And I do want to add, we did reach out to Representative Thomas Hall, one of the sponsors of House Bill 315, which included this change to the open records law, and we did not hear back. Did you know this was coming, or did you find out when the media reported it, that it was a new law?
Perhaps the day before it was signed in. And, you know, again, it was rumors that it was kind of hidden in there, you know, and it certainly was not highlighted. It was not announced in any way. So it was a shock. And I think that it speaks to a bit of carelessness with the implementation of this, you know, provision, because you should have a public hearing. You should have feedback from all sides. And it seems like that this is very much something that was rushed through without the input necessary from the public regarding, you know, how this would impact everyone.
Can you give us a sense of how body cam videos have made an impact on cases that you've been involved with?
It's been game changing. You know, early on in my career, I would take on a case of excessive force with the police or police misconduct. And essentially, I would be combing through the written accounts from officers and witnesses to try to visualize what happened. And beyond that, body camera footage has opened the eyes of the public in a way to what's happened, because many times you have to see it to believe it. And so, you know, it's been a game changer. And again, I think that body camera footage is not just helpful in reviewing incidents, but it should be viewed as a teachable tool that can be used to train officers on better methods. And so, you know, I'm not sure beyond the reasoning that there are small departments that are understaffed and need more funding to process these requests. I'm not sure what justification they have for doing this, but there are certainly other methods to fix that as opposed to passing that cost on to the public.
I mean, you can understand, though, how editing the video, especially when multiple officers are involved, can be very time consuming. I mean, it can take a long time. They have to, by law, they have to black out certain license plates. If there's bystanders around who are not even involved, they have to black out their faces. They have to black out names on officers' uniforms. It is a time consuming process. Don't you think that, you know, it requires maybe a little bit of money to pay for that?
110%. And I believe that the state should be funding that. I believe that they should be revolutionizing the model, because they are applying an antiquated process to processing these requests. They should have larger staffs. They should have all of the technology available to make this happen. And again, as a member of Axon's Equity and Ethics Advisory Council, I know the full capability of body camera footage and the technology that's coming. And I believe that if the state of Ohio would actually look at a more holistic solution here, which it, you know, to me involves centralizing the body camera footage, you know, that the storing of it, the processing of it. I mean, it does make sense that a smaller department would have trouble with that, but there's certainly, you know, there's a way that this can be pulled in a way and funded in a way that does not require the public to pay for it. So we agree that it costs money, but I don't understand why this cannot be something that is budgeted when there are hundreds of millions of dollars that are put towards policing in Ohio, at least. I mean, it could be higher than that. You know, it certainly seems like something that can be a budget line item.
Right. And earlier we had our news director and a reporter on saying that he can understand he used to be charged 5 cents a copy for a piece of paper. They've been charged for a jump drive, but now it can just be the files can be sent digitally. The internet, is the internet free? That's a big question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll say that, the Chicago has the I believe it's the Center of Police Accountability, COPA. And they have digitized the entire public records process online. So they have a website that you go to, and if there's an officer who you're searching, you can get his personnel file, all reports, all the footage online. And that is funded as a part of the city of Chicago's budget. That office is funded. They're guaranteed 1% of, I believe, the police budget every year. And they've digitized the entire process. So, again, Ohio seems to be throwing a very misguided solution, onto something that they could just look at other models and see that this is not necessary. So then it begs the question, is this an attempt to be less transparent and to restrict marginalized communities, especially those who cannot afford these charges, to restrict their access to actually holding police accountable?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, where it seems like everyone, the general public and the traditional media, are all becoming the victims of the new media, social media influencers, bloggers who do a lot of public records requests because they're looking for a video that's going to go viral. And they're making all of these requests, and that is new. That's something in just the past 3 or 4 years, and the police are trying to catch up with that.
And that's funny, that you say that, because I can think of a very prolific Columbus police officer who actually has a YouTube page where he actually reviews a lot of public records. And so, if there are folks like that are doing it and driving up the price, it certainly speaks to, again, a system that's flawed. And I think that, this is something that we should be moving towards more transparency. And so, yeah, if you have a few folks on the internet trying to, find video, then that's one thing. But I think that may be overblown in a sense. What I can tell you is I work with, dozens of attorneys who have to request public records and body camera footage to review cases that come to us. And so what's going to happen is we're going to have more lawsuits, because instead of being able to screen cases and to understand what happened, we're going to have to file suit to get this body camera footage. And it's not just one body camera that we're talking about. We're looking at multiple officers, multiple perspectives, and different vantage points. And it's not just the actual moment in time that an incident may have happened. There's conversation that goes on the body cameras prior to the interaction. So there's just this is something that, should be, again, being digitized. There should be a revolutionary process to how we look at body camera footage. And instead, it seems like they're trying to do all they can to restrict access by making it a huge charge. And we keep saying 750, but the reality is that if you have multiple officers and a lot of footage, you're talking about
It's
thousands of
750
dollars.
per
It seems.
video. Yeah. Yeah. So they
Right.
could,
So
yeah.
we're talking about something.
Yeah, I can see how the police are set. If they charge one person and don't charge another person, they're just setting themselves up for lots of lawsuits, right?
For sure. I mean, it's already, a different process from department to department, and there's certainly questions already amongst attorneys who are looking to hold, officers accountable as to the timing of how long it takes to get some of this footage. And, I get that they're understaffed and it costs money, but that to me just speaks to the fact that we have to look at staffing these departments, funding them, and doing it as a part of the police budget, as opposed to passing it on.
The advisory council that you told me you were a part of, you're trying to use technology to transform modern policing. What do you see coming in the future? You mentioned that Chicago is ahead of its time with digitizing a lot of things. What else is happening? Because we just had Brian Steele on in the last segment, and he talked about how, AI hopefully can, have a program soon where they can black out the faces they need to, like redact what they need to without too many humans involved.
Without saying too much, because I, have to be careful of what, is still under wraps and what is to come. But the Axon Ethics and Equity Advisory Council is centered around responsible innovation and making sure that as we revolutionize digital recording when it comes to police accountability, that there's a partnership with the community. And, you know, what we see here is that there was not a partnership with the community in implementing this new law. But, in the forefront, yeah, there's certainly AI technologies being developed around making the process more efficient, making it easier to summarize and review and to do all these things. So it's more than just a hopeful notion. You know, I can say that this is absolutely something that is a priority of Axon, which is the, you know, industry leader in body camera footage and technology. There's a lot of innovation happening. And to me, it's like Ohio is out the loop on that. You know, it's like they are, again, rushing to do something that to me does not solve the issue. It is meant to be more of a hurdle or a barrier. And, you know, they can couch it in, oh, you know, it costs money. But again, that's not anything that any of us are, you know, will argue about. The question is how we are allocating money throughout these police departments and throughout the budget. And, you know, if taxpayers are already paying tax dollars to these departments to fund the departments, I think they should consider how to reallocate those funds to make this make sense, as opposed to charging in a way that's not even in line with the developing technologies and the trends of body camera footage.
You have represented some high profile cases in our region. You represented the family of Casey Goodson Jr., who was shot 6 times by former Franklin County Deputy Jason Mead. That ended in a mistrial. You represented the family of Tyree King, a 13-year-old boy fatally shot by Columbus police. How important was access to body cam video in those cases?
So I'll start with Tyree King because there was not body camera footage in that case. I believe Columbus started to get body camera footage in 2017 or 2018.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was 2016. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Right. So in the shooting of Henry Green in June 2016 and Tyree in September 2016, there was no body camera footage. So we had to rely on witness accounts. And what I can say is that it is very easy to influence the testimony of someone who's speaking to police for the first time and is, you know, speaking to a traumatic event, may misremember things, and there's a lot of contradictions. And when you have contradictions, it's really easy to say, well, nobody knows what happened. So, you know, when I saw the uptick in body cameras, footage across the country, and then Columbus adopted it, what you saw was the ability to at least have an anchor, you know, with regard to what we see. And it's imperfect because there's obviously things that we can't see in different angles, but it's an anchor in which we can take, you know, the public back to that day. And when we have officers who are sworn to uphold safety, you know, for the public, and we have some officers that may be not abiding by that oath, it's important, you know, for a community trust and partnership to be able to understand that. So in the case of Tyree, there were a lot of conflicting witness accounts. There was a nun, you know, that said one thing. There was a unhoused individual who, you know, had a witness account. And it's really easy to, you know, say, oh, they didn't really see what they saw. Mm-hmm. And I think the outcomes would have been different with body camera. And then with Casey Goodson Jr., Franklin County, they did not have body camera footage despite it being 2020. And I believe as a result of Casey being shot the next month, the county went ahead and funded body cameras. And since then, I mean, we have not had another incident similar to Casey Goodson Jr. So I think it's preventative in many ways. I think it helps us understand what happens, and it's an accountability tool. And while those are the high profile cases, I represent a lot of people who have not been killed, but have been, the victims of excessive force. And I represent a lot of people who have just had interactions with officers that body camera footage helped document those interactions. And so it's an invaluable tool, and it's a tool that helps the public. It's a tool that actually minimizes public resources and taxpayer money by preventing lawsuits that, you know, may not be winnable lawsuits. But, you know, it's important. I think every attorney that I know that does this work has the mission of making sure that we advance justice, but we also don't tie up the court system's resources. And, you know, we're certainly not going to back down and not bring cases. So like I said earlier, we're going to have to file suit in order to get some of this stuff and to get it without spending thousands of dollars beforehand. You know,
right.
They've essentially made it cheaper to file a lawsuit and litigate the case.
Then pay, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. That was attorney Sean Walton of Walton and Brown Law. Thank you for joining us today, Sean.
Thank you so much.
And this has been All Sides with Amy Juravich on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
There are always too many bills to pay and never enough money. Enter now, the second job.
Just having money for rent, then making sure that I had money for groceries, then making sure that I had money to travel here and there.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the journeys of job jugglers. That's next time on Marketplace. This evening at 6 on 89.7 NPR News.